Show at 7 o'clock. No high school hoops in the area tonight, but a bevy of games coming your way this week on WEOL. Starting on Tuesday night, the Elyria Catholic boys team takes on Warrensville Heights in the Garfield Heights Division III district. Open Door and Columbia will meet up for the second time of the year as they travel to Norton in the D4 Norton district. And the Avon Lake girls taking on Canton McKinley in the regional semifinals. For a complete list of all this week's games, please check out WEOL.com. We've got our schedule updated there for you to find when your favorite team is playing and at what time. With local news first, AM 930, WEOL.
Pardon me. It's not just something you say. It's something the City of Lorain Division of Municipal Income Tax will do. They're offering a one-time tax amnesty, an official pardon that lets you pay any delinquent or back income taxes without penalty. Just complete and submit your tax returns. If you need help, free Lorain tax return preparation and assistance is available. No appointment needed. At the City of Lorain Income Tax Department office at 605 West 4th Street. Find out more at cityoflorain.org.
The Dave Ramsey Show, where common sense meets dollars and cents.
Don't teach you basic stuff. Live on less than you make, a concept Congress can't grasp. It's common sense. Nobody said this stuff was like rocket science or that I invented it all. I stole everything I talk about here on the air from God and your grandmother. If you're out of debt, you don't have any payments, you know what you got? Money. See, that's why I get the big bucks right there. Deep stuff like that. Hey, this is Dave Ramsey. Join me weekdays 9 to noon on WEOL.
Grammy Award-winning Terrence Simeon and the Zydeco Experience plays live at Stocker Arts Center for Lorain County's Final Fate of Mardi Gras. Sponsored by Lorain County Community College, Lorain County Commissioners, and Visit Lorain County. Go to visitlorainecounty.com/Mardi Gras. March is National Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month, and Murray Ridge Center is pleased to recognize the many contributions that individuals with developmental disabilities make in our community. Murray Ridge Center, helping people for a lifetime.
Throughout March, your Lorain Public Library system is celebrating Food for Fines. Bring in a canned good for the Second Harvest Food Bank and get $1 forgiven from your overdue fines. Limit $10 per patron. For more information, visit lorainepubliclibrary.org.
Bullseye on weather on AM 930. Overnight, cold. Low near 8. Light snow showers Tuesday. It will be windy. High of only 20.
Listening to Bulls Eye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.
Right. 18 minutes away from 4 o'clock, it's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bullbarge flying solo for the first hour of the show. I'll be joined in hour number two by my tag team partner, Matt Douglas. Having some fun here on a really cold Monday afternoon, but it's not as cold out on the West Coast, and that's where we're headed to meet up with our first guest of today's show, our Hollywood guru, Al Harris. Al, how are things out in Hollywood, my friend?
Yeah, pretty good. It actually is kind of cold out here, and it's rainy. Like, I don't know, man. I'm not enjoying it.
You said it snowed 2 weeks ago out there, right?
Yeah, out in Pasadena. It's crazy. People don't know how to act. It's like a little bit of flurries, and people are going crazy. And I was up in San Francisco 2 weeks ago, and it was hailing. So I don't know what's happening, but, you know.
Wild, man. Wild stuff. Well, we wanted to have you on last week, but we had a few things fall through with our scheduling. We wanted to get your reaction to the Oscars because, you know, leading up to the Oscars, you had some predictions, and now that we've had a chance to breathe a little bit on this, just your initial reaction to what happened there. Were there any major snubs, in your opinion?
Well, first I'll say the one I'm the most excited about was Olivia Colman. I thought Glenn Close, she had won every Best Actress award. So I thought she was going to win, even though I thought Olivia Colman was beyond exceptional in The Favorite, and that was my favorite movie of the year, so I wanted to see it get some love, and it did. I was very happy to see her beat Glenn Close. So that was exciting. But besides that, the rest of the... I mean, Regina King was supposed to win Best Supporting Actress. She did. I told you Caron was going to win Best Director. Best Actor, I don't think Rami Malek should have won. I thought it was a really good category with Christian Bale and Bradley Cooper, but, you know, I understood why Rami Malek won. It made sense to me, even though I didn't agree with it. But I didn't think Mahershala Ali was going to win Best Supporting Actor, and I was stunned with everyone else when Green Book won Best Picture. I thought that was an absurd win. And even beforehand, when I came on your show and talked, I looked at the Oscar odds just to get, like, an idea of where they were leaning. And Green Book was, like, 2. It was, like, in second. I was like, there's no way, man. Like, I can't see that happening. I didn't think Roma was going to win, even though it was the favorite. But I didn't think any chance Green Book was going to win. And, yeah, it was shocking. I have not seen it yet. I've read a lot of the negative reviews about it. And I know Spike Lee famously decried it as kind of like, you know, a white savior type movie and really kind of glossing over what that era really was about and kind of, you know, dramatizing everything going on. So, yeah, I didn't think that was going to win. I'm kind of shocked. And I think it'll go in the future, in history, it'll be known as that and Crash is probably the two worst Oscar picks ever, Best Picture. So we'll see how that goes. But as far as things I was excited about, I was also very excited to see Spike Lee finally win an Academy Award. And that was great watching him jump on a Samuel L. Jackson. I was happy to see Star is Born win Best Song. But for the most part, I don't know. I thought they got a lot right, but the Bohemian Rhapsody winning all the editing awards was laughable, and then Green Book winning Best Picture was just, I kind of think, tarnished the night, even though it was a pretty good show for not having a host and everything else that it was dealing with.
I would agree with that. I think when I was watching the show, the idea that there wasn't a host for the first time in nearly 30 years, I think that kind of got outplayed, and at the end of the night, I kind of sat there and thought, this thing doesn't necessarily have to have a host. They move this thing along pretty well. And again, I think that kind of got way overplayed that there was no host.
Yeah, I think it worked to not have one. I would have preferred not to have Queen play at the beginning. I thought that was kind of cheesy. But besides that, I thought, like, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Maya Rudolph doing the first thing was great. They're funny. Melissa McCarthy coming out with Brian Tyree Henry is great. You didn't need a host. It went a lot quicker than it usually does. There wasn't a lot of, like, look at me from the host, which you get a lot. So I thought it was a good idea. I thought they should have done the intro a little better. But besides that, yeah, I like the idea. And I'm also glad, because I don't know if you or listeners were aware, that they were trying to drop a couple of the awards to make it go quicker, cinematography and hair and makeup. And I'm glad they decided to add those back in, because I think cinematography is such a great category, and it's good to see like that. And we saw hair and makeup was the first African-American winner, so I'm glad they didn't do that, and they found other ways to speed it up besides getting rid of awards.
Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, we'll shift gears now, my friend, and I've got to ask you about this documentary called Leaving Neverland. Of course, it's a documentary on some of the alleged things that were going on at Neverland Ranch, and boy, it was met with a ton of resistance, as you might imagine, for the Michael Jackson estate. Have you had the chance to see this yet or read any of the reviews? I've talked to some people who had a chance to watch some of it, and they stepped away and said, I'm not quite sure that I could continue watching this.
Yeah, I have not seen it yet. It's one of those subject matters and everything that I got to be in the right mindset to watch. Not there yet, so I'll watch it eventually. But, yeah, I've heard it's pretty brutal. It got, I guess you would say, good reviews out of the festivals it was in, and I think everyone's kind of on the same page. It's meeting a lot of feedback from, like, Michael Jackson supporters and fans that don't believe this stuff. It's a very weird, like, Twitter's blowing up over the whole thing. It's bizarre. I'd like to believe everything that's in the documentary, so hopefully it's true. Hopefully for the sake of the filmmakers and everything. You know, obviously, it's a touchy subject matter. So, but I will watch it eventually. And like I said, I heard it's gotten solid reviews. But yeah, it's going to be tough, and it's going to be tough to look at him in the same light, kind of what we've seen, like the way R. Kelly, Bill Cosby. Even though these allegations have always been with Michael Jackson, there's been some pushback that they weren't true and all that. So I'd like to see what happens in the next few years with his legacy.
Yeah, and I guess it's kind of told through the scope of two guys who at the time were young men. Now they're in their late 30s, early 40s, and they went through some things that were less than pleasant, as you mentioned, kind of touchy subject matter. And it's one of those things I think is certainly going to get viewed by a lot of people. But again, you got to remember, people see Michael Jackson in a totally different light, arguably the biggest pop star of our time. And, you know, here we are. He's actually been gone now for almost 10 years, which is hard to believe. But it's going to be fascinating to see how this is viewed on the public scope as it gets a little bit more exposure. All right, Al, got to ask you about, well, I wanted to ask you about this the last time we had you on. Because Batman seems to change every 5 years, Ben Affleck has mentioned recently that he is retired as Batman, and I guess there are two questions that come out of this. A, where does he rank among all the Batmans that we have seen? And I guess the next question to follow with that is, who's in line to be next?
Well, ranking's easy. I think he's definitely at the bottom. He's in that kind of cesspool with Clooney and Kilmer. I don't think he was necessarily bad at Bruce Wayne, but the movies he was in were not good, as in Justice League and Batman vs. Superman. I would have liked to have seen him in the movie he was supposed to direct, or then he bailed out. Matt Reeves is a good director, so I'd like to see that. I'd like to see him in a movie that J.J. Abrams... not J.J. Abrams. Zack Snyder doesn't have his hands in, because I don't think Zack Snyder is good. But we're not going to, which I think is probably for the best. So, yeah, I would definitely, for me, it's still Christian Bale, one, Michael Keaton, probably Adam West after that. And then, yeah, definitely at the bottom. I would put Val Kilmer probably over Affleck, and then Affleck and Clooney. Clooney's still the bottom. Let's not kid ourselves. So Affleck would be right ahead of him. But as far as who's in the future, there's been names bandied about. Kit Harington from Game of Thrones, Robert Pattinson. So supposedly they want to go with a younger Batman for this one after Ben Affleck's pulled out. I think both of those, I don't know, I'm not a big Kit Harington guy. Robert Pattinson, I've become a huge fan of him with some of his great choices in indie cinema, but I don't think he's right for it. I've heard some other like younger people that don't really have a lot of background. I don't see them going that way. I think the one I'm hearing the most, and I actually think would be perfect, is this actor Jack O'Connell, who's a British actor. He's been in a bunch of indie films, Startup. He was in the Angelina Jolie movie, Unbroken. He hasn't been in a huge blockbuster yet, but the guy's got the acting chops. He reminds me a lot of Christian Bale. And when they got Bale, he wasn't the Bale he is now. And I think Jack O'Connell would be perfect for that role, especially if you're trying to go more of the Bale route than what we've seen. So if you want to get there, I think O'Connell's the same thing. He's a young British actor, done a lot of indie films, a lot of smaller projects, really strong actor, just waiting for that big breakout. And yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. From every name that I've heard, I think he's probably the best, and I think he, all in all, will probably get the role, and that's Jack O'Connell.
All right, Al, let's transition into some box office banter here, my friend. How to Train Your Dragon 3 was top at the box office again for a second straight week. Is it safe to say that everybody's kind of playing for second place this week with Captain Marvel due to make its debut this weekend?
Oh, yeah. Of course. I think we're just waiting for Captain Marvel to come out. And, yeah, I think it's going to do great. As we've seen recently with a lot of these female-led movies. There's obviously some sort of controversy. This one with Rotten Tomatoes deciding to no longer let people comment on movies that haven't been released yet, which I think is a fine idea, but people are getting really pissed off because they want to express their pleasure with the movie like they did with Ghostbusters and Wonder Woman, and I think it's absurd. But besides that, yeah, I think it's going to do well. I don't think, like I said, I think everyone was waiting for this movie to come out. Box office has been pretty kind of slow this year. I'm surprised Lego Movie 2 didn't do better than How to Train Your Dragon, but it is what it is. And, yeah, everyone's playing for second and third. Captain Marvel is going to destroy it. And it's going to be, and I think the biggest thing, too, is it's the last Marvel movie until our second Avengers, and definitely plays a lot in the second Avengers. So I think it's going to be exciting. It's one of the few Marvel movies. I think only Captain America was the same, where it was like a took place in a different era. I think this takes place in the 90s. So yeah, I'm in. I'm still a little weary about the Samuel Jackson CGI to make him look a lot younger. That always creeps me out. And in small doses, it's okay. I think it's going to really drive me nuts for a full-length movie. But that little nitpick aside, I'm excited for it. Yeah, and I think it's gonna crush this weekend. I just wonder what it's going to be like in the vacuum of all Marvel movies, how it's going to do.
Yeah, anxious to see that, because you're right. This plays heavily into the Avengers Endgame, which is coming up here in a few months as well, too. So I'm really anxious to see, because this is kind of like the debut of the character. The logo at the very end of the last Avengers movie was, of course, signaling Captain Marvel. So this is our first look at her on screen. So this will be very interesting to see how this plays out. All right, Al, we need this week's picks to click before we cut you loose.
I'm going to go with what you said. Leaving Neverland, I have not seen it yet. Getting great reviews. I definitely recommend that. I hate recommending things I haven't seen yet, but, you know, I've been a little backlogged, so going to catch up on that. I just finished Russian Doll, which I totally recommend, but I've recommended that before. I think that's it, just catching up on things that have come out, and that's, yeah, pretty much it.
Good stuff, Al. Well, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. We understand that you are traveling to the great Buckeye State in the coming days, so we wish you safe travels, my friend. We'll do this again next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Bull.
Thanks, Al. I got Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We need to step aside and take a break. Coming up here in just a few moments, we'll get back to Your Money Now on the local news, and then at 4:10, Sarah Rintamaki with Connecting for Kids and Julie Cruz Blair with Leadership Lorain County are going to join us to talk about next Tuesday's Lorain County Resource Fair at Lorain County Community College. Bullseye on the Afternoon continues after this here on AM 930 WEOL.
Kinetic Internet by Windstream is speed redefined. So now you can enjoy internet that's faster, more reliable, and has enough bandwidth for everyone. With speeds up to 100 megabits per second, the entire household can surf, stream, game, and download on multiple devices at the same time. Plus, it's unlimited with no data caps. Kinetic Internet, it's the future of fast. Order Kinetic Internet by Windstream at windstream.com/Elyria. Service terms and conditions apply.
This is Bullseye on Weather on AM 930. Overnight, it will be nippy, with a low near 8. Light snow showers Tuesday. Windy, high of 20.
I'm Jim Chesko with Your Money Now. A down day to start the week on Wall Street. Near the close, the Dow Industrials down 234 points. The NASDAQ Composite lower by 26. The S&P 500 has dipped 14. Having come under fire for the high cost of its insulin, Eli Lilly says it will introduce a version of one of its medicines to treat diabetes that will have a 50% lower list price. Insulin Lispro, the same molecule as the Lilly insulin drug Humalog, will cost $137 for a single vial or $265 for a five-pack of quick pens. A Lilly subsidiary, ImClone Systems, will make the drug available as an authorized generic. No change at the top of the box office rankings this week. How to Train Your Dragon 3 continued to hold on to the number one position, taking in $30 million over the weekend. Tyler Perry's A Medea Family Funeral had a strong debut, taking in an estimated $27 million. The only other film to open in wide release, Greta, finished in sixth place, an estimated $4.6